Welcome to Central Study Hour. We are so happy to have you join us today for another program where we can study the Bible, we can pray together, and we can sing a few songs together as well. We are so happy to have you here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we'll begin our program this morning with hymn number 252, Come Let Us Sing. And we invite you to sing verses 1, 2, and 5 with us. Thank you to Francis Mopetomas from Sacramento, California, who requested this beautiful song. And we are glad that we can come and sing to our wonderful Lord. And we invite you also to please visit us at saccentral.org. And in the contact us section, find CSH hymn request. There you can request your favorite hymn that we can sing for an upcoming Sabbath. I would love to hear your name, where you're writing us from, and that special hymn that you would like us to sing. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 618, Stand Up for Jesus. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
To him that overcomes.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together today and to study your word and to sing your praises. And Lord, we ask that every day you help us to stand strong for you, that we may trust you in every trials and in this life, in this world, Lord. And as we open your word this morning, we ask that the Holy Spirit can teach us something new, that can strengthen us in knowing that we have a wonderful God, Lord, that takes care of us, that is willing to help us to overcome sin. And please be with the speaker this morning as well, and with everyone who is listening. Thank you for your blessings and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we continue with our study of growing in a relationship with God. Lesson number 9, Sin, the Gospel, and the Law. Our speaker this morning is Bona Purva, so we leave this time to him.
Thank you so much, choristers. We thank God for arriving in the Holy Sabbath day in the house of the Lord again. We want to thank God for the beautiful Sabbath. Yeah. So we will be continuing our lesson study. Lesson number 9. So still within the quarterly lesson, growing in a relationship with God. This time is lesson number 9, and we will be discussing so many important lessons that we can apply in our life. But if you would like to receive the CD presentation or DVD, you can contact the church office at 916-457-6511 or also email us at csh@saccentral.org, and please mention offer C202622. Again, offer C202622, and we'll be happy to send those DVD or CDs that you prefer up to your address. And tell us a little bit about yourself, your address, where you are. We'll be sending that to you. Let's move on with the lesson number 9. The title, Sin, the Gospel, and the Law. As you can see in the lesson, the memory text is found in Psalm 119, verse 93-94. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Brothers and sisters, before we proceed, I would like to invite us to pause for a moment and think about one simple question. What is the greatest danger to our relationship with God? What is the greatest danger to our relationship with God? Many times, we think the greatest danger is something outside of us, surround us, in our environment. Possibly our problems, schedules, or probably our busy responsibilities, whether it's at work, church, or in our life with our families. Or possibly also somewhere around us, which is our temptations. Or anything in the world around us. But this lesson, for lesson number 9, often the greatest battle is much closer than that. Not only in our surroundings. Sometimes it's inside of us. Sometimes the greatest danger is inside of our heart. Sometimes the heart can be drift away quietly. We may still come to church, yeah, present in the church services, midweek prayer, or Sabbath school, or probably also attending the sermon. We can probably still sing, whether it's at morning or evening worship at home, or maybe at church. You're probably still serving in church actively, and still memorize and know a couple of theological meaning of a certain scriptures, and yet still slowly lose the closeness we once had with God. We may be drifted away. Sin does not always appear as something loud and obvious anymore, right? And sometimes it comes as a small compromise. Yeah, sometimes a simple and comfortable excuse, or sometimes a hidden attitude. Sometimes inside of us already giving a big response, but in our physical gestures giving us a simple eye roll. And you know what I'm talking about. Somebody's talking and giving that eye roll inside of us, or giving the side eye look, or any possible ways. Yeah. Or sometimes a quiet distance from prayer. I feel so tired. I only slept a couple of hours. I want to sleep a few more minutes. Yeah, skipping prayer time, skipping morning prayer, or skipping evening prayer. And yet, brothers and sisters, God does not leave us there. Yeah, He lovingly calls us to examine our heart, not to condemn us, but to bring us back to life, closer to Him. Yeah, He shows the truth because He loves us. He warns us because He wants to protect us. He invites us because He wants to restore us. So, as we begin this lesson for this whole week, you can follow along in the Sabbath School book. We begin and come with a humble heart. We receive this message with a humble heart, not asking who needs to hear this lesson. Yeah, I contemplate this myself before I stand here and presenting. I speak in front of the mirror first to myself before I speak in front of the congregation. Instead of asking, who needs to hear this? Instead, we should be asking, Lord, what do you want to show me from this lesson? And the goal, the objective, may the lesson for this week help us see more clearly, surrender more honestly, and draw closer to God who loves us, forgive us, and restore us. Let's begin Sunday lesson. I'll be sharing a bullet-to-bullet lesson, and then we can enjoy together and contemplate and devote together for the lessons. Let's move on for Sunday. The title is Distractions and Temptation. And this is some important topics, as I sometimes and most of the times distracted myself. And as like everybody else, we all get tempted. Yeah. The Bible text for Sunday lesson is taken from Judges 14 and Judges 16, verse 1, 4, 16, and 17. Now, the very important lesson that I would like to share, the first one from Sunday lesson, is that this lesson for Sunday teaches us that life is not just a series of random choices of problems. It is part of a bigger spiritual conflict between God and evil, as we know, the great controversy. Yeah. There's a cosmic battle. It's not only happening in the world around us, but also inside of us, in our hearts, in our minds, and even in every single daily decisions of our lives. There's a battle going on every single seconds. You pass by with somebody in the hallway or in the lobby somewhere. You can battle between yourself, whether making eye contact and say, hi, happy Sabbath. Blessed Sabbath. Or you can choose, look away. Yeah, as simple as that. Every single second and decision, there's a constant battle that you may bless somebody or you may not bless somebody. The great controversy. That's the very important lessons for Sunday lesson that I can draw. In simple terms, every time you choose prayer over pride, truth over lies or forgiveness over bitterness, we are taking part in that battle. We're taking sides. Yeah? And it gives this example in Samson's story. Samson's story shows that even strong people can be really vulnerable when they stop depending on God. We will be peeling it off like peeling an onion as we move on with the study. Imagine the life just like a tug of war. I like some play with my dog, German Shepherd, mix, 110 pound, big girl. Play tug of war with my dog. Yeah. And then sometimes I can imagine picturing myself like playing tug of war. Yeah, between truth and deceptions. That's how we are happening every single day. We may not see both sides clearly, but our choices reveal which side we are strengthening, right? For example, when we feel tempted to lie to protect ourselves, but choose honestly instead, then we pick side. We are pulling on God's side in that unseen conflict. So that's simple things, yeah? Left or right. So every single day, yeah, that's really important. The first lesson on Sunday is the great controversy. The second lesson from Sunday that I draw is that the distractions and devotion. What I mean by this? Distractions and devotion. For Sunday lesson, it reminds us and warns us that not all distractions are bad, right? Sometimes we may think distractions are bad. Distractions are bad. Unfortunately, not all distractions are bad by themselves. But too much of anything can pull us away from God. Yeah. For example, social media. Yeah. Scroll around Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or Snapchat, or whatever social media that you subscribe. You spend time in that more than you spend time listening to God speaking in your life, right? Or possibly also work. I feel guilty on that because in my lifetime, it becomes a lifestyle for me to work two jobs. You know, AM, PM, PM, knock, knock, AM. It's like a zombie mode. It's like overworking myself. Sometimes I don't even have enough time. Yeah, but that was back then. Or possibly also sport. You watch sport or you play sport seriously and spend time. So many times, even you skip evening prayer just to watch sport. Or possibly also entertainment and even something, simple responsibilities. Brothers and sisters, these can be dangerous when this thing takes over our time, attention and energy instead of spending time with God. So distraction versus devotion. Now, the problem is often overconsumption and imbalance in these things, that's the problem. Yeah, overconsumption, too much of it, no balance. Yeah, for example, checking social media just for a few minutes in our mind. Yeah, but then all of a sudden you realize it's already like 2 hours. Yeah, the time just goes by because you're seeing like funny short clips. You keep giggling in your phone and people thinking that, what is going on with that guy? But then turn up 2 hours or 3 hours sometimes and you don't even talk to your family, your children, or skip the prayer time. Yeah? And that can keep us away from prayer, from Bible study, and even rest, a simple rest. The issue is not only what we do, but how much space it takes in our life. Yeah. So think of it like a phone battery. Yeah, phone battery. Sometimes we open too many apps at the same time. Let it open and then skip, and then it's open in the background and running constantly, a few multitasking. And sometimes those apps open at the same time can drain the batteries of our cell phones and leave no time and no more battery left for doing the actual function of the cell phone. Yeah. Another example is that work, it is necessary, it's important, and very valuable, but if it fills all of our times so that prayer, worship, and families are neglected, then it has shifted from devotion into distraction. Because God gave us command, we will be working in our life, right? It is okay, but sometimes it's overconsumption, or too much of it, it can become a distraction and keeping us away from God. That's the second lesson. The third one, and this is another important one, is the strength paradox. What I mean by this in strength paradox. Now, it's this Sunday lesson talking about Samson's downfall. Samson's downfall shows us a surprising truth that strength can become a weakness when a person starts trusting in self instead of God. I think you're kind of familiar with this. I think this is a common theology now, yeah, nowadays, that you see the ideas where the common term that says, believe in yourself. Remember that? Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. So that's the theology and the idea that is introduced nowadays. But this is one another good example that we can apply. Yeah. Samson thought he was strong, but his real protection was not his muscles or abilities. It was his relationship with God. That's his abilities, his muscle comes from, the source. That's what I meant by the paradox, yeah? Because it seems backwards. The one who appears strongest becomes weak when he depends on himself. Yeah. Spiritual success does not come from self-confidence alone. It comes from humility, prayer, and also dependence on God. Brothers and sisters, as I'm studying this, and I was like reflecting myself, what in my life that indicate I am believing myself too much instead of depending God more? Yeah. In the Bible, it gives an analogy of the branch, yeah, the vine. Think of a branch connected to an actual tree. It may look strong and healthy, but the moment the branch disconnected, it begins to wither. The same way, a gifted leader, possibly a singer, a talented or student may succeed for a time through talent that they have, but if they stop depending on God and become self-reliant, their strength fades and they become vulnerable to temptation. And Mrs. White gave us a reminder in Conflict and Courage, page 132. Physically, Samson was the strongest man upon the earth. But in self-control, integrity, and firmness, he was one of the weakest men. Many mistake strong passions for a strong character, but the truth is that he who is mastered by his passions is a weak man. The real greatness of the man is measured by the power of the feelings that he controls, not by those that control him. A good reminder from Sister White. Yeah. So basically, this quotation reminds us that I should not trust my own strength. I need God's help to control my thoughts, my feelings, and my decisions, because the character is shown by what I allow to control me. So that's really valuable lessons. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. Monday, the title, Strongholds in My Relationship with God. And the Bible text for Monday lesson found in Matthew 5, 17 to 18. Yeah. And as I'm studying Monday lesson, I found really important lessons here. The first one is self-reliance. Self-reliance. For Monday lesson, warns us against thinking, I am standing strong. Yeah. I am standing strong. When in reality, a person may be about to fall because they are trusting their own strength instead of God's help. Brothers and sisters, self-reliance can feel confident on the outside, but spiritually it becomes dangerous when we stop doing our spiritual duties: prayer, listening to the Word of God, and depending on God. It's basically like walking on a slippery floor while saying, I'm steady, I have a steady gait, I'm okay. Yeah, a person may think that they can handle temptation on their own, but confidence alone doesn't remove the danger, right? It's good to be confident, but that doesn't mean it removes all the possible dangers and safety hazard. Without careful dependence on God, a fall can come really quickly on a person. Yeah, that's really important, yeah? Self-reliance. The second lesson from Monday is that it's talking about hypocrisy and also pride. This is something that sensitive topics, I think. Yeah, sometimes we some people can have a spiritual pride, don't you think? Religious pride. Not only pride is not only like a worldly thing, but you can have also religious pride. So let's talk about this. Hypocrisy and pride. That's the second lesson from Monday. The lesson from Monday warning us about doing good things for the wrong reason. For example, wanting a praise, wanting attentions, or wanting glory from our fellow men. Yeah, but Jesus teaches us that true humility does not try to impress anyone, right? It seeks to honor God quietly and sincerely. It's from the heart. Yeah, you do not find glory, recognition, or acknowledgement from someone else. That's an important lesson that I'm applying to myself. Jesus teaches that true humility does not try to impress people. It seeks to honor God quietly and sincerely. Brothers and sisters, pride can hide in a religious behavior. Yeah, a person may pray, a person may serve or wearing suit like what I'm wearing, or speak in a very spiritual way. But if the real goal is for admiration, then the heart is not fully humble. We might to think about that, right? That's really valuable lessons. God wants us to remember and apply these lessons in our life. It's like a painting a wall beautifully on the outside, while in the inside it still remains broken. Yeah, this is the same way. A person may give generously or act spiritually in public to gain praise, but if the motive is admiration rather than love for God, the heart is not truly humble. I would like to say amen for that. As I'm studying this, oh my goodness, what in my service to the Lord that based off seeking admiration. So this is completely tweaking the motives of our ministry. So the third lesson from Monday, still on Monday. Internal sin in the heart. So it's talking about the internal sin in the heart. For Monday lesson shows that sin often starts before the outward action. It starts from here before it's acted up. It begins in the look, the thought, the desire, or the intent. Jesus teaches us that lust and anger already begin in the heart, even before they become visible actions. That's basically the main passage for Monday's lesson. Yeah. That means we should not only ask, what did I do? But also, what was I allowing in my mind and heart? If we keep feeding wrong thoughts, they can grow into wrong actions. So internal sin in the heart, it starts from there before it becomes an action. So this is basically like a small spark in the heart, small spark in the heart. When a person keeps entertaining angry or harmful thoughts, that will spark and grow until it becomes visible action, such as possibly cussing, yeah? Harsh words or revenge. Yeah, we may be harsh in church. Yeah, sometimes this is something that we have to kind of the process. Yeah, it starts in the heart, in the mind, and then from the mouth. So we say another lesson for Monday. Lesson number four: the barrier of unforgiveness. For Monday lesson, also talking about, strongly teaches that the hatred, bitterness, and being overly critical of others can block our relationship with God. I think this is something that we, as a Seventh-day Adventist, we are sailing inside the boat, inside the ark. We are inside the truth, right? Sometimes, a lot of times, I've seen or heard the comments about people outside of the ark that is non-believer of Seventh-day Adventist. I think this is a lesson for us. Yeah. Being overly critical of others can block our relationship with God. When we refuse to forgive, we build a wall in our own hearts that keeps us from experiencing peace with God and with people. Yeah. Unforgiveness hurts us first. Yeah. It keeps the heart heavy, the prayer becomes cold, and relationship becomes strained. So Jesus calls us to forgive because forgiveness opens the way for healing and a closer walk with Him. Forgiveness, brothers and sisters, that's the fourth lesson from Monday that we can draw in our life and apply them. Unforgiveness is like carrying a heavy bag of stones everywhere we go. We carry it all the time. When a person keeps replying how they were hurt, that weight builds into bitterness, making it harder to pray freely and to love others well. While the other person may not feel the burden at all, we are carrying them. Unforgiveness, brothers and sisters, let go. Forgive them. Forgive, that's why one of the gospel, forgive those who harm you, those who hate you. Love your enemy. That's what the gospel teaches. Mrs. White reminds us in Acts of the Apostle, page 312. Every habit or practice that leads into sin and brings dishonor upon Christ must be put away. Whatever the sacrifice, the blessing of heaven cannot attend any man in violating the eternal principles of right. One sin cherished is sufficient to work degradation of character and to mislead others. This is a beautiful reminder. Yeah. The main point from that is that we cannot cherish Christ and cherish sin at the same time. Yeah. Even one tolerated sin can damage our character and affect others around us. Brother and sister, four important lessons. Yeah. Let's move on. Tuesday. For Tuesday, the law. This is looking perspective and balance between the law and the gospel. But first, on Tuesday, we talk about the law. The Bible text is found in 1 John 3, verse 4. As I'm studying the law, not studying the law, Tuesday lesson about the law. The first lesson that I draw from Tuesday lesson is that friendship evangelism. This is something that we can apply in our ministry. Friendship evangelism. Friendship evangelism means sharing Jesus by first building a relationship with someone over time. This is technically a discipleship. Yeah, not just invite them for the a Bible revival series or week of prayer, or anything like big event like that, but a simple friendship, yeah? The lesson from Tuesday emphasized about warmth, kindness, and genuine interest, because people are often more open to spiritual conversations when they feel loved and respected. Brothers and sisters, and this is not about forcing a message. We have the truth. Right? No doubt about that. We have the truth. We're not trying to force the message and spoon feed everyone for accepting and forcing the message, the truth for everyone. Yeah, it's about being a trustworthy friend whose life makes others curious about our faith. Have you been in that situation where you were always kind, even at work, you're always helpful? Yeah, but then, never cuss at work or things like that, never giving an attitude or behavior at work. And then all of a sudden, hey, I notice you don't go to work on Saturday. What church do you go? And they'll start to open the conversation. They'll get curious. And that's the open door and then sharing about the faith. That the friendship evangelism, that's the first one. So friendship evangelism is like planting a seed in a good soil. When we are consistently care of a coworker, checking on them and listening to their struggles, helping them and showing kindness, truly, we are preparing their heart slowly. Yeah. And they may begin to ask about the source of our hope and our faith. And that's an open invitation for a Bible study. Would you like me to invite you for our Bible study? We have this series going on in the church. And I'll share you more about my faith if you're available. And then they will, oh, sure. And so it starts from there. But it starts from an open heart that they are curious about our hope and our faith. The second lesson for Tuesday, sanctification as witness. This lesson teaches that God shapes our character to be more like His character. Our behavior itself becomes a witness. People may be touched not only by what we say, but by how we live our life, how we respond, and how we treat others. Not only at work, but also at church, everywhere in our daily life, in Walmart probably, in Costco, everywhere. Yeah, we treat people nicely. We become the light everywhere. Sanctification means growing in holiness and Christ-likeness. When this happens, our kindness, our self-control, our humility and peace becomes a testimony that points people closer to Jesus. And this sanctification is like a lamp in a dark room, technically. We live in a dark world nowadays. It's like a lamp in a dark room. It does not need to announce itself. Yeah? It is seen by what it shines. It just shines by itself. When a person who once reacted with anger begins to respond calmly and respectfully, others will notice the change and recognize that somebody's at work. Someone is at work. God is at work. It's changing that person. That's beautiful lessons from Tuesday. And also the third lesson that I can draw, intentional prayer. The lesson encourages us to pray not only for a person's needs, but also for the right opportunities to talk with them about Jesus. Opportunities. Yeah, we pray about opportunities to talk about Jesus. Also reminds us to pray for boldness and gentleness so that our approach is loving and wise. So this keeps evangelism from becoming nervous or forced. Prayer helps us to be alert to moments when God opens the door naturally. God will open door and with all the possible opportunities. Yeah, we praise God. We have that event this week in Sac State. That will open a lot of doors and people will question about our church and our faith. So that's another opportunities. And prayer is like asking God to prepare the road before we even travel on it. Before meeting of a friend, ask Him to open the right conversation and give you boldness and gentleness so that the moment comes we can speak naturally and wisely about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another lesson, number four from Tuesday, community connections. This is something that the same as our program this week in Sac State. The lesson on Tuesday shows that sharing Jesus is not only one-on-one effort. Yeah. At some point, a new friend can be introduced to a church, a small group, or other believers so that they can experience our faith, our community. This matters because our faith grows well in healthy relationship with people. A person may first connect with one believer, but later they need the support, encouragement, and belonging of a wider church family. This is basically like introducing someone to a family after becoming their close friend. Yeah, after building the trust with them, with the neighbor, and then invite them to a Bible study or church gathering or CSH like this, and then it starts from there. Let's move on, okay? Let's move on for Wednesday. Talking about the law for Tuesday lesson now, the law and the gospel. Wednesday, the law and the gospel. And the main scripture is the same as the Tuesday lesson. Yeah, it's found in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, where Jesus says he did not come to destroy the law, but he's there to fulfill it. Yeah. From Wednesday lesson, I can draw the law as a reflection of character. The law is a reflection of character. God's law is like a window into his heart. Just same like us parents set boundaries to our kids to show what matters in our home. Right? We set boundaries in our home, right, for our kids. What does that mean? That means it shows values about that boundaries, yeah? God's commandments show us his characters, his values, and what he wants for our good, yeah? The law is not random rules to follow. It shows that God is holy, loving, truthful, and also protective. When we read it and obey it, we learn what kind of life reflects him. Yeah, imagine playing football without rules. Playing soccer, and then all of a sudden you're carrying the ball. No rules, no fun, right? So, God's law is like a roadmap also given by a loving parent. When a parent says, no lying, no hurting others, and respect your siblings, and brothers and sisters, those instructions both reveal that the parents' values, meaning they value honesty, they value safety, and also peace. And guide the child toward the right way to live. So that's the first lesson from Wednesday. Yeah. And however, there's a limitation of the law. Yeah, there's a limitation of the law. The law is good and important because it guides and protects, but it has limits. Yeah, let's talk about that in Wednesday lesson. It can show us what is right and wrong, but it cannot forgive sin or make us right with God or remove guilt. That's the limitation of the law. Yeah. In other words, the law can point out the wounds, but it can't heal it. Right? It shows the wound, but it can't heal it. It can expose the problem, but it can't save us from it. Otherwise, it's going to turn into legalism, right? So that's the limitation. So the law is like a mirror in a doctor's office. Yeah. It can clearly show that something is wrong with us, revealing the dirt or the sickness that we suffer, but it cannot cleanse or heal us. Yeah. It only points out the need for the cure, and we'll move on with the next point for that. Yeah, which is Jesus. We need Jesus to heal us. The third lesson from Wednesday, the function of the gospel. This is where the gospel comes in. Yeah, Jesus' death and resurrection do what the law cannot do. Yeah, we already talked about the limitations of the law. It only points out, but it cannot heal you or save us. And so they justify us before God. Jesus justifies us before God. That means Christ makes us right with God by taking our sin and giving us his righteousness. So the law basically shows us our need. The laws point out our need, but the gospel provides the rescue. Hence the title, gospel also. Yeah. The law says you are guilty, and the gospel says Christ has paid for you. Yeah. That's a beautiful lesson there. And the gospel is like a courtroom where a debt you could never repay is fully paid by someone else. The law brings us in and show our guilt. But then Christ steps in, pays the debt on our behalf, and set us all free. That's beautiful, what he's doing for us. Yeah. Still on Wednesday, the fourth lesson that I can draw, we can enjoy and apply in our life. Motivation of love. Wednesday talking about the lesson makes a very important point. Obedience is not something we do to earn God's love. Yeah, well, there's so many concepts of theology out there that contradict with this lesson. Obedience is not something we do to earn God's love. We obey because we already love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Which means love is the root, right? And obedience is the fruit. Yeah. And this completely changed everything, all that misunderstanding. Instead of obeying out of fear or to impress God, we obey because we are grateful, trusting, and connected to him. It's the opposite way. Love is like a tree that naturally produces fruit. Yeah, just like a child who loves caring parent listens out of relationship rather than to earn affections. Yeah, obedience grows naturally from a heart that is rooted the love of God. So we're not trying to impress God because, you know, we're loving God, but not to impress him, but we're doing this out of our love. Ellen G. White, Prophets and Kings, page 465. Only as a reverence for God's holy word was cherished in the hearts of the people, could they hope to fulfill the divine purpose. It was regard for the law of God that gave Israel strength during the reign of David and the earlier years of Solomon's rule. It was through faith in the living word that reformation was wrought in the days of Elijah and of Josiah. The bottom line, the quotation reminds us that God's word is not just an information. It is the foundation for our spiritual reformation. When God's people cherish his word, respect his law, and respond in our faith, God can fulfill his purpose through us. The law does not save us, right? But it reveals God's will and leads us to depend more fully to Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on. Thursday, knowing and doing. Yeah, this is another important lesson from Thursday. The first lesson that I draw from Thursday lesson is that information. It talks about information versus intimacy. The lesson teaches us that it is possible to know about Jesus without truly knowing him. Yeah. Saying, Lord, Lord, it's not enough if there's no real relationship, there's no real trust or real obedience behind those words. Knowing Jesus means more than memorizing the facts, the Bible text. It means walking with him, listening to him, and letting his life shape our life. That's a beautiful lesson from Thursday. Yeah, basically, knowing about Jesus is like having a photo of someone. You may recognize details and the faces, how they look like, just as a person might know a leader's history of words. But the true intimacy is like sitting and talking with them personally, where a real relationship is formed and lived out. Yeah, we can talk about, oh, he's tall, 5'10", or things like that. But have you sit with him and talked to him in person? So that's what Thursday lesson is about. Yeah. The blueprint for living, that's the second lesson I can draw. God's word is not just a collection of religious facts. It is a blueprint for life, a guide that shapes how we think, how we speak, how we decide, and how we live on a daily basis. On Thursday lesson also reminds us that This plan should be etched upon our every souls, meaning it should become deeply part of who we are as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah? And this happens as we read, as we believe, and as we practice the word over time. God's truth is meant to shape our character from the inside out. So it's a process. Yeah? All right, the third lesson from Thursday, obedience versus overflow. What I mean by this? The lesson on Thursday, it presents obedience not as a heavy burden. Obedience not as a heavy burden, but as a natural result of us loving God. That's a completely different concept, right? It's a natural result of loving God. That's what obedience is. So when we love Jesus, obedience flows out of that love naturally. Yeah, that means obedience is not about trying to earn salvation. We're not obeying to earn rewards to get salvation, right? Otherwise, salvation not by works anymore, right? It is the response of a grateful heart that wants to please the one we love, right? That's completely the opposite concept. That's what Thursday lesson reminding us. Basically, obedience is like a water flowing from a spring. Just like a child who loves and trusts a parent naturally, who listens and responds. Yeah, obedience just, you know, flows naturally. Yeah. The fourth lesson from Thursday, building on the rock. Jesus ends by calling us to build our life on the rock. Yeah, he talks about this. Building a house on a rock or sands on Thursday lesson. Yeah. Which means putting his teachings into practices. A life built on his words has a firm foundation that can stand when storm comes. And the point is not only to hear Jesus, but to do what he says. We can be a listener, but we have to be a doer as well. Right? That's the goal on Thursday lesson. Hearing without doing is like building on a sand. It may look fine until the pressure or storm comes, and then it's flat on the ground. Yeah. Ellen G. White from the book of Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, 147-149. Religion consists in doing the words of Christ, not doing to earn God's favor, but because all undeserving, we have received the gift of his love. Christ places the salvation of man not upon profession merely, but upon faith that is made manifest in works of righteousness. Doing, not saying merely, is expected of the followers of Christ. That's a beautiful reminder from Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 149. Okay, so then that means, yeah, from that quotation, basically Ellen G. White reminds us that obedience is not the way we earn salvation. It is the evidence that we have received Christ's love. True faith does not stop at words, beliefs, or profession. It becomes visible in how we live daily basis, how we treat others, and how we respond to Christ's teachings. And so the question is not only, do I know what Jesus said? But more of, am I following his words to shape my actions? So that's the question that we need to ask in our lives. Yeah? Church family, as we close, we have 5 more minutes. As we close, we are reminded from this week's lesson that the greatest battle is not only around us, yeah, but the great battle is also happening within us. The heart can drift quietly. Sin can weaken us slowly, and distraction can pull us away from God without us even realizing it. So beware, be careful. This is a reminder for this week's lesson. But praise God, He does not leave us in that condition. He lovingly reveals that what we need to change, not to shame us, but to save us. His truth opens our eyes, especially from the lessons this week. His grace invites us back, and His love gives us strength to restart all over again. So hopefully today, as we study this lesson, let us not walk away only saying, that was a good lesson. Yeah, that was a good lesson inside for this week. But more, let's ask in ourselves, Lord, what are you asking me to surrender in our life? So if there is anything standing between us, between our heart and God, any habit, any attitude, any distractions, any pride, any bitterness, or any compromise, let's bring that to Jesus today. He is ready to forgive, He's ready to restore, and He's ready to give us a new heart. I think that concludes the lesson for this week. I hope we have drawn an important lesson, as I am also enjoying that lesson, and I'm earnestly praying and working on it in our life, in my life. So if you would like to receive this presentation of this Bible study, lesson number 9, you are welcome to give us a call at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org and tell us a little bit of yourself, where your address, and mention about the CD or DVD preference, and mention the offer C202622, and we'll be happy to send that to your address. And don't forget, next week's study is going to be presented by our Pastor Mike Thompson. The title is Repentance and Forgiveness. Continues lesson number 10. And this is an important topic. Yeah, we all need God's grace, and we all need the peace that comes from being forgiven and learning to forgive others.